episode number 233 with Steve and Mike. Welcome to the Heads Up Poker Podcast. This is Steve Barton.
This is Mike Snyderman.
Michael Snyderman. How the hell are you, my friend?
See, when you ask that question with such enthusiasm, I feel responsible to respond in such a way. I'm still here.
Still here.
How's that? I don't know.
What, were you up playing last night?
Yeah, Stevie, sorry about that. I'm an hour late here for our record your show.
Oh, you've been there for me for 230-something episodes now, so one is nothing.
Have I though, Steve? I'm here physically, but have I really done all I can to amuse you, Steve? Start working double hard. Yeah, casino shut down again.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. So
okay.
It's fuck city for me. I have gotten access to some pretty good home games.
Good for
which
you.
Is the good news.
Good for you.
Like really, really good. Although actually let's talk about it a little bit though. That's interesting now. These home games. Quickly though, borderline suicidal last night. I lost two nights in a row. I lost 3,900 on Wednesday and I lost 4,000 last night.
Ew. That's a stinger.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even want to say how hard I had to hustle just to get that money. You know, we're talking like, you know. So what do I do now? I don't know. But yeah, the home game is interesting, Steve. This is where we talk about poker bros.
Yeah.
You know, the things that are hurting the local scene. The private car games are really good. I could get into a couple of them that I can't even really afford. So this one I kind of stumbled into. It's like an hour drive away.
Okay.
It's a bunch of wealthy Persian guys who just like to play poker pretty much is all it is. Like mostly that Persian.
Sounds amazing.
They like me.
Good.
Which is good. And they really like to, I mean, like you just, you hear people talk about what poker was like in the old days. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. Not really knowing what the hell they're talking about. You know, yeah. When poker was good, where anybody's thinking about cotton pot odds and this and that. And this is pretty much kind of what this is.
Wow. Okay.
But, yeah, you need money to play in it. Like, well, the other night it was just a 5-5 with a 500 cap, but you could like match the stacks and, you know, pretty soon the next thing you know, you got like 15,000-20,000 on the table, at least.
Wow.
And there's one guy you can straddle from any position.
That's awesome.
So there'd be like, I would straddle the 10, somebody would be like, we'd make it 40.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it'd be kind of interesting to think about if I was screwing up. Last night was pretty much me giving money away. Just,
okay.
It was a psychological, I mean, I was running, I mean, it was like $200 or $300 a time, which was crazy too. To lose 4,000. I think I only lost one big pot with lost 701 hand where I just shoved ace king after a guy three bet me who was kind of active and he had aces. I had ace king and there was a king on the flop, but we lost anyways, I guess. Yeah, it'd be interesting to talk about strategy. Like this one guy who was just trying to win every single hand, but it makes the game when he was straddling every hand $25 in a 5-5. So basically, you got a 5-25 game.
Yeah.
So, and it always act, he was three to my right. So okay. I was always third to act. And he was going to, like, if I make it 50, 75, 100, there's almost always going to be 1, 2, 3 callers. Maybe not always, maybe for 100, maybe heads up or sometimes you'll steal. So what's your opening position from that, Steve? Like I was still opening king, queen off, 7-8 suited. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I wouldn't be doing that.
Which are hands that you normally open from that position?
Okay, so let me make sure I understand this right. So you've got a 5-5 game, and then you can straddle from any position.
Right, and basically,
so you can, it can be small blind, big blind, and then four gaps, and the guy in the cutoff can straddle.
Correct.
Wow. I've never played a game like that.
Okay. So
so when he straddles there, the action starts with him?
No. Starts to his left. He's last to act. That's what he's paying a straddle for.
Oh, okay. All right. We get it. Okay, yeah.
So what's my opener when the first two people fold and it's my turn and he's there for 25?
So you're third to act every time because this guy's doing this every hand.
Yes.
Interesting.
So if you were to look at a hand opening chart, 7-8 suited and king queen off would be the hands.
I don't know about 7-8 suited.
I'd have to look at a hand opening chart. I'm pretty sure you would open 7-8 suited from the low jack, but maybe not. Either way, I probably should have had. I mean, I was getting unlucky. I mean, for sure. There's sometimes though. I opened once to 75. I think I was opening with king queen suited, and some guy made it 225, and the guy in the big blind called. The guy had been straddling, I should say, and I had ace king suited. You know, there's already $450 in there.
How much do you have in your stack?
I had like 1,100 or 1,200 at the time. So I'm sorry. Yeah, I did lose a big hand the other two nights ago. I forget this was the biggest hand I lost.
In this game, I just shoved there.
Yeah.
You said you had ace king suited, right?
Yeah, you can get called by worse, obviously. The guy who originally raised me called me. He had me covered with queen jack off.
Right.
Nice. And the straddler actually had pocket nines. The guy hit a queen. So that guy won like a 3K pot.
You're not terrible there. That's...
So the one guy was straddling for 25. I don't know what his deal is. He's the, you know what I mean. He's got money. I would say. It is funny for these home games though. You can like one guy pulled up last night I hadn't seen before and like probably like a I don't know how much is a Maserati, Steve. I was gonna say 100,000, but maybe it's more.
I don't know. I know they're very expensive though because we have a guy in my first in area at in the ghetto and he's got one at. A house that he should not.
You know? Okay. Gotcha.
But yeah, anyways, the guys always comment on it. And I think they say it's like an $80,000 car or something.
Anyways, guy had one of those and I saw him walk into the house. I'm like, oh, this guy's going to be action. He just looks like money.
Yeah.
And he bought in short. It was like, you know, okay. Take his time before, you know, he didn't get rich by giving money away to poker bums, I guess. But
I would be opening tighter there. I would treat it like you're always in early position and the game is now 5-5, 25, you know, and also take into account, because after pre-flop, then the action just starts with to the left of the button, right?
It starts in the small blind, normal space.
Normal after the flop, right?
When I had position on this guy, if I had the button or the cutoff, I was always opening because I was going to have position on the table pretty much, you know?
Yeah,
it is. It's just interesting. I think if I could do it over, I would be limping my full range. It would be my answer to this and have a limp raising range and a limp calling range. And depending on the price, you know, I'll be limp
even if you got aces.
Yeah. Well, because there are people who raise behind.
Oh, and quite often they raise behind.
It's hard to say. The point is I get to see flops with, if I want to see flops with 10 jack suited, some suited, you know, I need to see him cheaper.
Well, why if I start limping
my full,
instead?
If I start limping my full range, even you don't get aces that often, Steve.
Okay.
I will give up the right to have raised pots heads up with aces. If I can know that I can see the flop in position against this table without such a low SPR. That's my point here. Like depending on the stacks, there were people playing in this game who had 500, 600, 800. Okay. There were a few that had, you know, 1,500, 2,000.
Okay.
So it's easier to stack. I make it 75, three people call, there's 300 in the pot.
I guess what I'm saying is like, I think my strategy in this game is the way you've described it so far is it sounds very loose, right?
Right.
And you're having to act third pre-flop every time. So essentially you're in early middle position, right? Every time pre-flop?
Right.
Okay. That's a tighter range than, you know, in a normal game. So essentially you're playing early middle position. I would be playing tighter. I wouldn't be you know, playing the king queen off and the I might play king queen off, but the you know, 7-8 suited and all that stuff, I'm going to be going like, you know, a lot stronger and raising every time I'm coming in. You know, and if you're getting three callers with 75, make it 100. And if you're getting three callers with 100, then make it 150. And get it to where you're getting heads up with the worst player at the table. And, you know, like you were doing on the button and the cutoff and the hijack, you know, you want to have position. That's how I would play it. And the limping, that is interesting, though, with the limping. Maybe if you just limp the whole time, you do get to see more flops, but I don't know, you're just playing these multi-way pots a lot of times, I think, you know.
Yeah, a lot of me losing the two nights is that exact spot where I have jacks. I mean, I must have missed like 0-for-17 flush draws the last 2 days. I mean, Okay. Ridiculous in all situations where I'm gonna get fucking paid too, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but yeah, Steve, I don't know, it's something to think about. Like pocket nines is not, I think 7-6 suited is as good as pocket nines in this day. A lot of it had to do with the depth of the straddler, the stack depth. Cause of course he was flying between like 400 and 2000 cause he's playing like every pot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if he's 2000 deep for 1500 effective, I can open a little wider, Okay. But again, you know, even like pocket nines, okay, let's make it more, let's make it 100. Well, you still get two or three callers. People just want to see flops. Why not just
125? Did you ever try 125?
Well, I don't know. My point is, if two people call you 125, you've got like a $400 pot. Let's say 1,000 in your stack with pocket nines, where there's always going to be like an overcard.
I guess I don't know. I kind of look at it, since the 25's out there, this is a 525 game. So look at it like the big blind is 25.
That's what I'm saying, Steve.
Every $250 is 10 bigs. That's I would just look at my stack with 1,000 as 40 big blinds. And, you know, I would play tight and aggressive. You know, it sounds like you'll get paid like you did with the ace king. You know, I mean, the guy called you with queen jack off and then the guy overcalled with nines. I mean, that's a good game, and I want to have a very strong range playing against guys like that. I don't want to try to like outflop them with Jack 10 suited there, you know?
Right.
I would just play tight and fucking bomb it, you know?
Yeah, maybe a bigger open. Although, like I said, for some reason, like the straddle seemed like a decent adaptation, and I don't even mind going five ways to the pot with pocket nines because I'm not really trying to go heads up with a bad player with pocket nines as much as I'm trying to see you're trying to stack people here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's kind of the goal here. So how do we see the most flops?
A heads up with a bad player with nine sounds like an amazing result to me.
Right.
Especially if you got position.
Holy well, shit. Like I said, again, it's a function that you're playing a 525 where the average stack was say like $900 at this point. And that's my point about this whole thing here is okay. Stack size and stack to pot ratio. Let's put it this way. I'm making some painful folds. I did it once with jacks like that. I think I made it $100, two callers, queen high flop.
Okay.
Let's bet small here. Let's bet 125. Maybe I should just be check calling, but if I check, it's 300. I'd rather kind of, you know, I bet 125. Both of them call. Even though on like a queen 7-4, one of them can have an 8-9 and one of them could have ace 4. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So then I go to the, turn is whatever, I check, somebody bets, somebody calls, you know what I mean? Like there's a lot where this is just, you know, results oriented, but like there wasn't too many good spots, let's put it that way.
Yeah
I did get it massively ahead once. This was it's funny, I think I might have told this story before because it was against the same villain, this young Asian kid who Ray's called with a gut shot for his stack.
Wow.
And this was, the sizing was pretty, it was, this was like 10, 10, 10. Somebody, it was 10 was the straddle. Somebody called, like three people other called. Got to me on the button with ace, jack of diamonds. And I made it 100. And two callers. I forget this younger Asian kid. He's probably not young. He's probably like 30 something. I don't know. I can't remember. Really
what describe. I'm sorry. You, what position were you in? And
I was on the button.
And callers were one of the limpers, or
Yeah, two limpers called. The flop was, I think, ace, queen, six.
Okay.
And checks to me, and I bet like 140. And this Asian kid, I think I'm going to describe him before, because he was like, he was buying in short for like, I was asking what he does. Says he's a poker pro, plays a high guy. He just can't be. Okay. But he's, buys him short for like 300. And then the previous time he ran it up to like 3000 and then lost it all.
Oh.
And this time was a little similar, other than he kept buying it again and again and again. It was down, and then he ran it up, and I think he might have left up a little bit. Okay. But anyways, this is just kind of a bad beat story, but it gives you an idea of the story. The game. Oh, this was, you knew, even all the other players at the table, like, what the hell is he doing? Because he like clicked it back. He made it like 300 on the ace queen four board. And I'm like, well, you know, he could have two pair. Nobody really, I mean, it's a fucking rainbow board. There's no flush draw out there. You know, what is it, on the fucking driest board ever?
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm just not folding here. So I shove, and he still has to call like another 600-800 or something. I forget how much it was, like let's just say 800 to win 2200, or you know, he would have needed, he had just a gut shot and called. He had like king jack and hit a 10 on the river.
Jesus.
So he was, I did the math, he was 16%, 17% to win, and he needed like 25% to, after his raise. So when I did the math, it wasn't like the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Like I said, he needed 16. He needed really 6-1. He was getting like 4-1, or I forget. Maybe it was only 3.5-1.
Yeah, but that's a great spot for you, regardless.
No, I mean, result. I ran very bad. I don't know how to just, I didn't have enough money the first night, first of all. There are people there. They're set up with like Venmo and that kind of shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you give them money, they'll give you chips. But I just couldn't. Like I said, yeah, missing every goddamn draw. But it's funny, the last hand I played Wednesday night was somebody flopping a set of deuces and me having tens and overpair and going in for like $900. Mm. I mean, this was just frustrating, but I mean, there was a flush draw out there, but still. So that was the last hand I picked up and left. And I came back the next day and I had queens and the guy flopped top set, pocket nines.
Okay.
And it is, again, a lot of the thing when you slide back, it's like a function of, normally if I'm 1500 deep, I'm rarely going broke with one pair, probably. I'll get stacked with one pair, you know, twice a month or something.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, I get cooled or what it is. But what was I saying about the situation? Oh, yeah, it's just what the guy... He was only in for 400 yesterday to start. This was the first hand of the day. Okay. So he was in for 400. I make it 20. I make it 50. He make pocks it to 150. There's a flush draw again when I had the queens. And I don't know. Is that good play or bad play, Steve? I don't know. I guess you could say in a game like this, you should be trying to play low variance and play strong hands.
Yeah.
And late. But I've played that. That's kind of what I was doing. And I was just doing that, losing 200 at a time for basically 20 hours of poker. Like every 30 minutes reaching into my bag for another 200 and just never getting anything going.
And when you were buying in for 200 at a time, was he still doing the 25 strategy?
Well, this player was not totally who I was playing with the last couple of days. I played with him for 4 hours or something.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
But still the game was always a lot of people seeing flops. Yeah, it is kind of weird that there's a lot of people there who kind of rebuy short, like 200-300, and then there'll be a straddle and someone will restraddle. Like the guy did that. Like, this guy loves me just because I've been caught doing some bluffs and we'll, you know, straddle and stuff. Yeah. But it's funny how quickly the other night I showed up and immediately like squeezed to like 100 with three people and they all folded and I showed three deuce.
Huh.
And then like this was all in the first 15 minutes. I'm always like, let's just gamble right away and then hopefully, you know.
Yeah,
and then somebody
for the night.
Then I opened like Jack 7 suited from the button or something. I can't remember. And there's like a 6 high flop, and some guy donked into me. He had $300 and he donked for like 30. And I just shoved. Mm-hmm. I had a gutter ball, Jack 7 on a 3-4-5, I guess. And he folded, and I showed my hand. But then like 2 hours, like, this guy doesn't play enough hands. He's trying to, unless you're constantly shoveling money in there. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just a whole different.
Yeah, you know, maybe you can't play as tight as I'm suggesting, because then you won't get invited back.
Well, no, I mean,
I would maybe mix in, you know, if you're feeling like that dynamic is happening when you try it, you know, mix in like the Jack 10 suited and the.
Well, I don't know if you really have. I mean, when this guy shows up, he wasn't in the game at this time. It's like a different thing. Yeah, you're not. The bluffing pretty much ends. I mean, there's always spots to bluff. I don't know. Here's a little lesson I learned, because like, again, this whole thing, you have to be like, I don't have a bankroll, and that's not being able to, like, you have to have the one kid in this game who's definitely like a pro. You can tell he's like crushes the high stakes, just how he plays, you know, much, much better than me. And of course they all love him. He straddles like every time. Like if anyone straddles, he immediately restraddles. Like if this guy was making it 25, he would have made it 50 every time.
Wow.
You know, and he ends up making all the chips anyway. So he doesn't, but also at the end of the night, if anyone, he'll leave, is like, okay, who wants to flip? Like when the game ends, and he had like $6,000. And I mean, like three people want to do it. Here's 800. So they each put 800 and then they run the cards out.
Wow. Okay.
So he's kind of.
Something that is essentially, you know.
You have to take every neutral EV spot, they say. I mean, there's.
Yes.
I mean, if they all sat down and said, okay, let's all flip for 1,000 and I only had 2,000 in my pocket, I'd have to say no, but they'd be. So there really isn't that much. But there was the one night, like three different people, like, okay, here's 500, here's this. He wins, he loses, he doesn't care.
Yeah, because it's all a.
He profits neutral. Well for the game, and he's very good for the game. A little things that he does when I want. So he wasn't there the other night, and I was. This was Tuesday night. I guess I was the big winner of the game. No, well, I wasn't. That's right. I was into that game on Tuesday. I mean, it's been fucking living on the edge here. I was in the game for 4,300, and cashed out for 4,400.
You mean you were in the hole 43 and cashed out?
I was into the game. That's how much money I had pulled out of my pocket.
Wow.
For a 500 cap game. Yeah, or 600 cap game. So I finally got even. And I was leaving, and one guy's like, let's flip. I'm like, man, I don't. I'm like, he's like, 500. I'm like, can we do 300? He's like, no, 500. I'm like, you know, I'm like the fun guy there. But, you know, I just had to do it, and I lost. But, I guess I didn't really have to do it, you know. I mean, like, but
no, I would, you know.
The previous time I was there, there was the pro and me and some other guy. This other guy kept wanting to flip, so I forget. We were doing like 200, 300, 400 each, but I won the first one, whatever it was, and then like kind of in my mind, keeping track, I'm like, okay, Adam, I can afford to lose like three more of these and call it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, man. Like I said, well, I'm looking for a job. I just can't. But if I'm involved in poker in a few years, man, yeah. Having a home game. Do you know the money they make doing this shit?
Hosting the home game.
Yes, that's what I mean.
That's what you need to do.
I mean, for me, I'm such
You've
a fuck
got a
up.
A lot of dealer friends. You can
pay
a dealer $50 an hour to deal for you all night, you know?
And this home game. I'm not really breaking it. Nobody knows who all my Oceans people. Nobody knows who this game is, and nobody up there know. But then you got to start thinking about rake though for these games. There's the one game I go to, which is just it's under raked. Really, it's just $5 a hand, which is pretty amazing. With you know food and everything, you think you like a little bit more than that. But one guy, the guy's just kind of throwing a game for like Oceans. You know, he makes money off it for sure.
Yeah,
this game, it's $20 max rake. So if the pot is $1,000, $20 comes out.
Jesus. Okay.
So there's a lot of money that comes out of the room. If you start, there's two tables that run all night. I mean, I started doing the math of how much of this guy's run. I mean, he does run a very, he's funny. He's an ex-Marine and it's really organized. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a train. He's got a couple guys who work for him and he got his list and he comes out with the clipboard and you can tell he's been doing this for a while. And you know, he's on the phone all the time taking requests. This person wants to sit on this table because he's got two tables going. And then I'm like, I don't know. So if it's probably each table's making $300 to $400 an hour in rake back.
That's impressive.
Two tables going for 10 hours.
Yeah.
I'm like, is he really making 7,000, 8,000 here? Which is, I mean, I guess you could say it's probably, again, there's people, like every night there, there's someone who loses 7,000 or 8,000.
Yeah.
Like I said, you can match the stack. So the game just gets really, like last night, it's, you know, this was a $600 buy-in, but a couple of people were able to come in later and just buy in for 1,000. You know, be someone at 2,000. Then it, like I said, I had to leave before the game broke. So I left, but, so anyways, there's a lot of money in the room, but it is a high rake. So, you know, moving forward, if Ocean's open, I have to think about those things. Okay, I got to drive 50 minutes. Bunch of great guys have so much fun there. You know, I love the home games. I love the, you know, they get Greek food and all sorts of good stuff. And, of course, the booze.
Yeah.
But you're paying a high rake. I'm traveling. And, yeah, so it depends on right now. It's like such a good collection of the player pool is pretty phenomenal. And, but if I'm going to keep going, I got to figure out a how to get some money here, which I don't think I can. But
I'd tighten up, man. Tighten up and bomb it, because look at stacks instead of money. Look at it as big blinds when someone straddles, and just do it real quick in your head. You know, and then play like that. Don't play like the money. Play like big blinds. And in situations.
Yeah, it depends. The straddler, it's different. I mean, you just have to. Now, how would you do it? How would your range change, Steve, if the person under the gun was, or every time it folded to this person who's let's say two to your right? This is a different game, kind of a different villain. But again, kind of who was like raising, we were straddling. It was like often usually raising to like 80 or 100, but who was deep, who had like 4,000 or 5,000. And let's say I have like 2,500. There's a few other very deep players there.
So every time it folds to him, he's raising it to what?
80, 100, big.
Okay, and this is a 5-5 game?
This is a 5-5 straddle. Hmm,
interesting. And we got
so what does your range look like when you're on the button and this person raises from the cutoff? What are you isolating with? Is there an isolation? Isolating can be expensive here. You got to pay 300, even though you're 2,500 effective.
Yeah, and what's his like? How often is he doing this? Like. Every time it's folded to him?
Frequently. This was a person who was playing like 90% of hands. It's a high vipper, high V-pipper with a lot of chips, who is willing to put a lot of chips in there with draws and one pair.
Oh, okay. Okay, he does it from the cutoff around the button. Interesting. Probably fairly tight. I want to get heads up with this guy. So make it like 350 if he made it 100 with ace jack suited plus ace queen off plus pairs like sevens plus and then probably, you know, probably all suited broadways now that I think about it, but so ace 10 in there.
Something don't you like want to just see, don't you want to, if you you can just call with pocket sixes. And at one point I was like, there was like four people with 4,500 plus probably.
Okay.
So again, it depends on, but if you're 3K effective, why not just flat pocket sixes rather than giving the person the chance to raise or for you to have to get sticky with one pair. You can flat pocket sixes for 80 bucks. I mean, it's a big bet.
Yeah.
But it's still, you're getting a 40 to 1 return for hitting a set. But anyways,
that's an interesting point.
And so there's a lot of this villain. It's funny. Anyways, this villain was moving seats all the time.
Hmm.
And was sitting on my left while I was in the sixth seat or on my right, and then moved to the two seat, then the one seat opened. So I moved to the one seat.
Is there any logic behind each time he moves that you can see?
Just wants a change probably.
Okay.
If someone's raising all the time, avoid getting isolated probably that much. But anyways, I moved to the seat. I'm sorry, the villain was in the eighth seat. I took the ninth seat. So on the villain's direct left. But to my left were the very good pro and this other a good buddy of his, which is probably also pro, which is – so the two of them were – those guys were very deep.
Okay.
So that was being on our left maybe wasn't the best place because whenever I isolated, these guys would overcall quite a bit.
Oh, that's annoying.
So, Yeah. And this villain, if someone else would not raise other people. So a lot of times someone else would limp and then this person would limp. And then what do I do with King Jack suited? So if I'm in middle position, I raise here, I'm going to be going, if I make it 80, the two people to my left were calling every single time. Okay. Because they knew the villain was going to call, and they knew, well, I was deep too, so they could see multi-way flops like with 6-3.
Wow.
So this is someone, when you're playing against a loose player, this is not playing a tighter range. I'm just saying this is a different scenario where there are pros playing a very wide range.
Yeah.
Because you're deeper. So it's kind of the same, you know, just giving that, these are the dynamics that are changing all the time for stack size and who's driving the action the most. And, but yeah, like in this spot, I was like, you know, maybe in this spot, it's better for me to be to the villain's right and just limping pots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I can overcall because we're deep.
Yeah.
And have position on those other two guys more often. So I have 10-9 suited from whatever, the low jack. I limp. This person limps behind. Then one of the pros raises to 100. Then me and this other person can just call.
Okay.
I think it's about seeing flops cheap as much as getting heads up with somebody else. Well, I don't know. It's always good about getting heads up with someone else.
I hate multi-way pots.
I just
Fitzgerald calls them death. And it's just so annoying when you do not, when you're not heads up, you know, you have all, fuck that. I just want to play one guy, you know, it sounds like the seat is to the left of those two pros. Cause if they're able to flat you there and show a profit with 6-3 off, Jesus.
Well, maybe that's, quite a bit.
Wow. Those are two guys I don't want to play.
Yeah. One of them last night, I lost a big hand to, I raised preflop with ace. I made it like 100 preflop with ace king, I think, or something. And he had called with 7-3 of diamonds, like overcalled.
Wow.
And stacked me. That was the last hand I played last night.
They're flush on another level. Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
And, so, unless maybe they're not a pro, but it sounds.
It's the thing is though, especially when you can keep buying, you can really. This guy is gambling to get a big stack. He's willing to gamble to get there because eventually at 4 a.m, he's going to be heads up with someone for $5,000 and win a big one quite frequently. Yeah. So he'll pay $4,000 to get that $5,000 stack. You know what I mean? Kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
I shouldn't say it's just, it's interesting. You got to think normally, you know, poker's just, I'm within the realm of competency when it comes to like pre-flop ranges, I think, where I'm three betting and stuff in different spots versus different players. And here it's definitely a changer because you will see the overcalls. And I mean, I don't think you're right. Basically, I was running bad because every time I was ISOing, you know, with ace king or any with, you know, I was doing value heavy for sure. Anytime I was isolating, I wasn't doing it really, really wide. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I lost a lot of money, Steve. It just, you're obligated to see what went wrong.
Yeah.
A few bad calls for sure. A couple times really unlucky. Like I said, the ace king against the queen jack. And then the guy, you know, calling off with the gutter ball was pretty, in a 3K pot was pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. It sounds like a good game.
Yeah, it's a good game.
I think it's just a little bad variance is all. I might tighten up a little bit at some of the things you were describing, but you know the game better than I do. You're there playing it. But yeah, I know tighter is less variance.
But to drive an hour and to put, you know, pay that rake, the game has to be consistently amazing. Like I was kind of just talking to Buddy Arbitro. Like I'm like, how good a game would it have to be for this rake at this stack to justify it? He's like, it's got to be like at least an A- to pay that kind of rake. I'm like, well, you know, I think it is. Yeah, so I think this guy is. I think it's a fair game for sure.
Yeah.
although this was kind of interesting. This was a hubba blue. This guy runs his games 3 days a week.
Okay.
And everybody there is looking to play every day. You know what I mean? It really is a sweet spot there. If I had the fucking bankroll right now.
Yeah.
They actually one day of the week they decided they're going to start throwing a 5-10.
Wow.
And a couple of the guys who most want it. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I need like at least $100,000 bankroll to sit in five play, like an uncapped 5-10 with these guys. But it's talk about some of my poker pro buddies would like pay $1,000 to get in that game, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But anyways, these guys want to start having a game every night. So two guys who never thrown a game before, they rented a house to throw their games. I mean, this is how much money's involved. If you think about it.
Wow.
They rent a house. They got three tables in there. So they're really ambitious. They want to get like three tables going, you know, eight nights a month, like two nights that this guy's not doing it. I mean, if you start again, like I do the math and all this stuff. And like I said, there's a nice lady going around, and I mean, I got a massage and a nice lady going around, like, you know, ordering from like this Mexican restaurant. What do you want?
Oh, that's perfect.
So the home game's got all this stuff, but this game, again, pretty high rake. And at the end of the night, I wasn't there because I fucking got, you know, my overpair got cracked and I got the fuck out of there because I'm terrible. But they had the game at the end of the night, of course, gets, like I said, gets crazy. People are playing. And the guy running the floor told the dealer to take $50 to these big hands without telling anybody that the rake was going up. So I haven't really, I'll just say, I mean, first of all, it's too high. But again, even, I don't know, it depends. If you're 5K effective with a few bad players, then $50 a hand is like, you know, even like 30, $40 a hand. Even if the floor is taking $800 an hour off a game, like that's a lot. You're paying $100 an hour.
Yeah.
But it might be a $300 an hour game for you. Do you know what I mean? Like that extra money might be depending on, you know, the circumstance. But anyways, if I go back to this game, I'll not even like angry accusatory. It's just like, listen, if there's ever a massive jump in rake and I'm not told about it, you're going to hear me say something or walk out. Cause that's,
That's bullshit. He should let him know.
But again, the difference between going to Ocean's 11 and hoping the game is good to having your own game and knowing it's going to be good is pretty big. But like I said, I'm just such a dope Steve. I would end up getting, I'd be the one fucking guy with all these home games going who gets arrested, who gets robbed. It's funny. I told the Marine last, they got some pizzas and they, you know, the pizza person came and the Marine had probably like $25,000 in cash in his hand, you know, tens, and he's pulls it out and he's paying the pizza person.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And I'm like, you're not really worried about getting held up here? I mean, this person who delivered this pizza is not only are they not making a lot of money, all their friends don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you're just showing, he's like, right. That probably wasn't too smart. Kind of laughing. But like I said, he's an ex-Marine and, you know, I don't know. He has a less of a fear factor than the rest of us probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it is interesting. I think the home games is the way to go for sure. And I'm in good up there. I mean, they do like me.
Good.
And I'm friendly, Steve, right?
Well, you're a likable guy, man.
Do I get credit for that? I come off as a real bastard on this show, but people do. most people enjoy my company at a poker table. Maybe I'm.
Oh, we see through it. It's all a facade.
I'm less of a, which is a facade? Which one? The kind part or the,
Steve, rough around the edges, Mike.
Oh, that's, you know, Steve, first of all, another reason I can't listen back to the show. I don't know if I ever talked about how squeaky and lame my voice is, because I took an acting class. This guy was explaining to me. He's like, Mike, you got to learn how to use your diaphragm. Speak from your chest.
Okay.
Because for me, the words are flying out so fast, I can't use anything other than my vocal cords. My mind refuses to let that extra millisecond of air pass up there to you, you know. But, yeah, there's a couple times, Steve, talking about politics, this and that, where I'm like, okay, this is an absolute crazy person here. So I was thinking of Steve, do you like me when I'm genuinely ranting and raving like a crazy person or when I'm half kidding?
I'm not sure if I can tell the difference.
Okay. Maybe I'm never kidding, but I'm at least aware that I'm on an unintelligible rampage of speech here. So I don't know. I guess they're indistinguishable. Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know. Whatever. But yeah, man.
I, uh, I got another tattoo yesterday.
You got one?
I got one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't even plan on getting it that day, but I called, I figured all the tattoo shops would be closed. But I called up the guy that did my other one 6 months ago or whatever it was. And he said, no, we opened 3 weeks ago. I'm like, all right, I'm coming in. So I got another one. It's the first one was in Roman numerals 26.2. And then this one that I got is 13.1. So it's an X, I dot I. And so for half a marathon and then a marathon. And I like it, man. They're addicting. I want more. I want more.
I hate tattoos.
Took me four years to get my first one.
I can now appreciate, you know, to me, if you're not paying attention, they're all just tattoos. But there's some people who obviously have gotten a very expensive first class tattoo artist.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, you can tell the difference, and obviously in detail and effort and what people are. So I now can appreciate. One guy was actually showing his tattoo off last night, which was like a lion and very really detailed, you know, every whisker you can see. I'm like, wow, that's pretty. Yeah. So it's a nice piece of art.
Nice.
I just don't like tattoos on chicks, man.
Oh, interesting. You know,
if you had a woman, like there's like one cute woman who works the board at the casino at, but like her tattoos, you know, covered all the way up to her. You can see it on her neck. You know, it's like covers her entire body. I think, you know, I don't find that attractive.
I do on some women, and on other women I don't, and I don't know why. A lot of the girls that I've been with have tattoos, but usually it's just like a little tattoo on their ankle or maybe their side or some, you know, and after a while you don't even see them. But I haven't been with a whole lot of girls that are just like sleeved like you're talking about, you know. But the ones I were, I was attracted to them. But on some girls, when I see it, I'm just like, oh wow, that is not attractive to me.
Right.
But they are. I got a new respect for the guys that just go get their whole side with like a dragon or something. You know what I mean? Like it is quite painful. You know, it's there's nothing like that about it. Maybe after a while it starts to kind of go a little bit numb and you don't feel it as much, but man, it fucking hurts. It really does.
I don't know. It just, I don't know how randomly I thought of this. This was years ago talking to some woman in a New York bar. Her friend was engaged to this surgeon.
Okay.
And like, I'm like, oh, she's describing and I'm like how he's all tattooed and like, you know, biker guy or something and shit. You know, so I'm seeing this picture. The guy's got lots of tattoos. He's got a stud ring in his tongue.
Okay.
But I guess he's a great surgeon. I don't know. This isn't what I want to see in a medical emergency.
Right.
Some fucking tattooed hipster. Like, I think, you know, guys in jail, that they should have tattoos. I get it. Bikers, fine. If you've won a few bar fights, you should get a tattoo or something. You're swinging from a pole. Like there's only like 10% of the population, which should be you can tell when I run the country, Steve, there's going to be some changes people aren't going to like.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to make lists of not who goes to the gas chamber, but like who can get tattoos. I'm going to keep these government bureaucrats busy with some real.
Oh, I would love
tyrannical to see you. And meaningless tasks.
Oh, I would love to see you run the country. That would make my day.
Don't be so sure, Stevie, now. What was I going to say here? I don't know. Have you been playing poker at all? I haven't seen you on Poker Bros.
I just played for the first time last night in 2 weeks. I was out at the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona for the last 2 weeks. Just we didn't get to go on our vacation to Chile, so my buddy and I, we have a friend that has a trailer. And he let us use it and he's letting us keep it out there. And so between probably a total of 9 or 10 of us, you know, we've got it out there. And so we're out there in it. I was doing some fishing and swimming and just, you know, I learned this trip. I'm a pretty good swimmer. I wasn't really sure I mean, I've always known how to swim, but I think in the last few years I've gotten a lot better at it. And so I swam in the river and I wanted to see how long I could swim against the current, you know?
Right.
And I did it for over an hour. And
like pretty much swimming in place?
Swimming in place, basically. Yeah, it was great because you could stay right by your campsite just swimming in the river and keeping up with the
current.
You're
in great shape, Stevie. You're in great shape. Swimming for an hour is no joke.
Yeah, I had to stop four times to like clear my goggles, you know, so if I was in open water or something, that would have been kind of a bitch to tread to that. So I did have that, those four breaks, but still, it was an hour.
In every situation, Steve, you can find a way to challenge yourself or learn something new.
Yeah, I think I want to enter some swimming races. You know, I like running a lot.
You might be a triathlete, might be your next thing, Steve.
I don't enjoy the bicycle. Maybe it's because I separated my shoulder with it. And after that, I never rode it. And I honestly just gave it away. I'm like, why the hell have I had this bike for the last 10 years? I think I've ridden it maybe four or five times. I've been lugging this thing around with it, just taking up space. I'm like, fuck it, they can have it. It wasn't worth the effort to try to get $60 on Craigslist and dealing right. with bikes.
I was swim team.
What's that? Oh, where
I was on swim team. Yeah, no, I'm a very strong swimmer.
Oh, nice.
And I'm tall. Like I can probably beat like 99% of the world population on a 25-meter swim race.
Okay.
I mean, after that, I'm in horrible shape. I can't swim 30 meters.
Okay. 25, you got it?
But actually, it's funny. The last girl I was dating in Connecticut, she was like the swim star of her high school, she's like in a plaque in the school, you know what I mean? For breaking every record. And we were always kind of joked about it, but then we were down at her mom's place on the lake and they're like, okay, do you want to race? And I was confident. I said, I will give you $5,000 if you can be, and all her friends were like, oh my God. It wasn't even close. Yeah. She was way behind me.
Yeah.
You know, and she's a good in shape, like swimmer. Who's like, you know, so it's, See, You're Steve, quick. Every now and then I get a chance to just brag out of the blue there. That's my thing there. I did
not know you were a good swimmer.
Yeah, I mean, this is the main activity I did to lose all the weight. Was it last year or the year? I can't remember. But I fucked my shoulder up, Steve. I think I told you that day it was already kind of screwed up. I had a partially torn labrum, and then I was boogie boarding with Jason. I think I told that story. Slammed head first on a rock in my shoulder. And I didn't see a doctor. My shoulder was kind of screwed up. It's one of those things like, okay, let's just heal naturally. And now it's like a year later and I can't really lift that arm too well. Yeah, this is these little frustrations. Should I get it? Again, this is Steve, you know, poor. I don't even know how much I'd have to pay to get surgery. I'd have to pay probably MRI and this. It'd probably cost me $5,000 even with my health insurance. You know what I mean? For all the shit.
I've had one shoulder surgery and the other, I could have had surgery on it, but I decided to just let it heal naturally. And shoulders are a bitch. You don't realize how often you use them, you know, because that whole arm is just completely out of service for like a month.
Yeah. I mean,
it's just this fucking limp noodle that hurts all the time and you can't do shit with. And anytime you bump a table or a chair or a fucking tablecloth, it hurts, you know.
No, I can't even. I tried to. I did like four push-ups the other day, and it's like four more than I even should be doing. You know, I can feel the shot of pain in my arm. I'm only 49, Steve. I probably, you know, but there's a part of me likes being the old man kind of thing. Oh no, I can't lift things. Gives me excuse to be lazy, I guess. I don't know, but I mean, I'm too. I just can't. My back's bad. I can't lift weights. Can't run. My knees shot. I got cart. So swimming was like the one activity I could do. So yeah. I probably really should get my shoulder fixed because I'm too young to be like without exercise kind of thing, you know?
What was it you were doing when you blew it out?
I was bodyboarding.
That's
and right. somehow, I don't know how to do it. I put my arm down to try to break the fall and it twisted in some way, but I'm pretty sure I have, I don't know if it's a labrum or a rotator cuff. I mean, something's torn. I mean, yeah. I just do. Again, but it's not. I'm not in constant pain. I just can't do activities with it. You know what I mean? So is that.
Yeah.
If I was unable to sleep at night because I was in pain all the time, like that's how my back was for years. I couldn't walk with my back. I couldn't do anything. I mean, I had to get it fixed. The shoulder's not really like
that. Have you seen anyone about it?
No.
You know what? A cheap route. If you want to save a little dough, which is probably my favorite three words, save a little dough. Try a physical therapist. I bet one appointment with an experienced physical therapist, you know, a guy in his 50s or something, you don't want the kid that just graduated. But I bet that he could take your arm and twist your wrist in certain ways and say, lift up here, pull down here, resist this. And within 45 seconds, if he's anything like the physical therapist that does all the firemen at work, he'll be all, oh yeah, it's this one. You know, this is what you need to do.
Done. I actually set up a physical for a few weeks from now. As I turn 50, I'm kind of want to just see my blood work, blood pressure, and see if anything jumps out there.
You know? Yeah. And ask the doctor about that. Have him do that with you. And he'll probably be like, oh, it's a biceps tendon right here. You know, you're going to need a pin in it and you need surgery, or physical therapy will fix it. And then you can have that one session with the physical therapist. He'll tell you the exercises to do, and you never need to go back because now you have the information. And
right.
You know, and
Steve, this, I can't even take care of myself. I went with my son. I bought a video drone camera like 3 years ago. We finally just used it. We went to the park and I was wearing my flip flops and stepping down like onto the pavement. I fell.
Okay.
Like the flip flop. And I mean, it hurt. Like hit my toe, and like toe was like spitting blood, like big, you know, kind of gash in the side. And, long story short, I don't know if I broke the toe, but I haven't gone. It's turning like purpler, and like it could be like I think I don't know what happened. Discussing this is pretty. I think like my toenail like half got torn off.
Oh, yeah.
Got lifted, and I just kind of pushed it down and put a Band-Aid over it.
Yeah,
but maybe my body thinks I have no toenails, so now a new one's moving in or something. Like, do I have to? I'm gonna have to see a podiatrist and get, because. Yeah, it keeps bleeding, actually. So it's like,
how
something
long ago did this happen?
Like a week ago.
Hmm.
So it kind of heals up, and then I'll wash it and, you know, scrub it, because
infection.
And all of a sudden it'll start bleeding again, because like the nail will kind of move in a weird way. So there's
you're probably gonna have to cut the rest of your nail off.
And like I can't really curl it too much, so it might actually be broken. I don't think so. I think if you're a broken toe, you're more. I can walk around on it.
What's your pain tolerance like?
I guess the back is so bad. I guess I got used to it. I don't know. The masseuse was once giving massage. This is a girl who gave a deep massage, and actually she was like, you could tell really trying to dig her elbow in there, and I was like, yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Somebody was like, can't you get him in pain? She's like, I'm trying, and you just can't do it to him. So I think I was really high at that time too, where it's like, you just, really, really feel nothing.
That helps. I wonder, I mean, at least with those, I've never had a nail bend back like that and then go down that I haven't had to eventually cut off.
And it's like,
is there blood under the nail?
Yeah, the skin on the bottom of the nail, that's where it's keeps getting like little pockets of blood. I'll have to, you know.
Did you ever take like a hot paper clip and relieve the pressure? Well, this is great pot, isn't it? Just
a hot paper clip.
Yeah, you heat it whenever you, you know, hit your hand or fingernail with a hammer or something, you know, it boils up with blood under the nail. So you get a paper clip, you hold it under the stove or a torch or something until it's red hot, and then you touch your nail to burn a little hole in it, and it relieves the pressure.
Right. Well, I mean, I've cleaned it up where all of a sudden it looks clean. There's nothing there, you know. First of all, like the cut part on the side is like, was kind of, it's in a weird spot for healing. So it's just like a massive callus repeat. You know what I mean?
It's using not like hydrogen peroxide.
The skin, I've been using that. Like the skin stayed, well, whatever, Steve.
It does look infected though. If it's infected, I'd go to the doctor.
It doesn't, I don't think it's effective, but it's all, it's turning like a darker color all the time. And it's like the nail, the nail needs to be removed, which can't be too pleasant.
No, it's painful. You know, if you can kind of cut around it with some toenail clippers and,
I've been kind of trying to do that. The nail is really thick. The old one, I think. Yeah. I don't know. But I guess my point, Steve, is this another good evidence of what a fucking basket case I'm in. Let's just like, let's just ignore this and hopefully it'll
go away.
Right.
This will fix itself.
I just, yeah, I can't. First sign of trouble, Steve. I get such, the anxiety is so intense. I finally get, you know, occasionally I get motivated to, I got a couple guys who are always telling me, dude, you got to do a video log. Please, please, please. I want to see, you know. So I started filming for some of that. That's actually what we're doing, the drone camera. We were doing like some jokey intro stuff, like pretending I took a bad beat and hurling chips in the air while the zone, you know, the camera comes down. Basically come up with a video log. So I filmed a bunch of shit, like me talking outside. So I tried to download it. This was going to be, I couldn't do it on my computer for whatever reason. My MacBook's like 5 years old. I got to clean it out. Da, da, da. So I have to see someone.
Someone wise in the ways of,
well, you couldn't, I couldn't set an Apple appointment even. I wanted, you know what I mean? Like if I have to pay for more storage, basically I think it's, I have to move all my pictures and videos, so they're off my computer, but totally in the iCloud or something.
Can't you just
I need discs or something? I need help on what? On discs?
Yeah, like DVRs or something? Or DVDs?
Well, no. I don't know how many computers have DVDs to burn pictures in anyways. I don't think that's a thing anymore. Maybe they do.
You don't have a CD drive in your computer?
No.
Really?
In a MacBook? Huh. I don't think any of the Macs have that, do they?
Oh, okay. I guess. Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because I have a shit ton of DVRs and CDs from when I was doing the Amazon stuff, you know, and just stuff that I couldn't sell. I threw away a significant portion, but I still have about half of them here just to in case something comes up. But I, you know, that's a good point. Yeah, I haven't put anything on a CD
if you put them in the iCloud, mm-hmm. the Apple, then there's no chance of breaking the CD. Like, you know, they're there forever safe, but I don't know how to do it, Steve. Apple, you couldn't even get an appointment. And then like the Geek Squad at Best Buy.
Yeah.
I think you have to wait like 2 weeks for an appointment, but of course the way my mind works, I'm already like, I'm going to go in there. I'm not going to go, what the hell the questions are. You got to pay for, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not even going to explain what I'm trying to do. It's going to be just, it's better just to sit here and let the computer fix itself. Much like my shoulder. I see the same things. Let's just cross our fucking fingers and hope things work out somehow in the long run. I can always go down to the river and just swim in place for hours and hours and hours again to help me relax my mind. What would you do, Steve, if you were kidnapped and locked in a closet and blindfolded? Mm-hmm. What would you do for self-improvement then? Like normally you're in a different circumstance. You're like, look, this could swim in place here.
Yeah.
You're going to adapt to everywhere. Do you look and see something interesting to do?
Oh man. Locked in a closet, blindfolded. Do I at least get lunch?
I think that's, the famous Patty Hearst trial. She was the wealthy aristocrat who was kidnapped by the People's Liberation Army or one of the radical 60s groups. I forget. Okay. And, you know, they had her in a closet and were working brainwashing her. And eventually she like held up a bank with them.
Wow.
It's considered, you know, the Patty Hearst thing, to bring them a new family. You know, that's what you're doing. You're cutting them off from the world. And, you know, there's actually a movie about it. And like, I think half of it is her just sitting in a closet. Wow. not super exciting.
Highly entertaining.
But it would be funny, you know, playing Patty Hearst, Steve Barton. Yeah. Steve, you're supposed to be angry. You're supposed to be upset. This is traumatic. Stop it. I'm counting the tiles on the, you know. Having fun in here, for God's sakes.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
World but, Series yeah, of
I'm
Poker.
Gonna, I'm going to start playing poker more now that I'm back. I'm kind of back in work mode and everything. And I played last night. It was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I had 4 buy-ins to a $40 tournament on Poker Pros. And man, every time I had the pair and they had like an overcard and an undercard and no dice. Oh, one of them I had a flush draw and a double gutter against top pair and no dice on that one. Didn't get there. But yeah. That was I'm looking forward to playing again.
Okay. How about Steve? How about you go to Vegas and play one or two online bracelet events?
I saw those are starting up at,
yeah, they've been going for since the beginning of the month. Okay. You know, they're priced. Some of these, there's a couple of them. There's one of them. There's one that's $100. That's why I'm tempted to go there. $2 million guarantee with $100 buy-in.
Jesus.
And some of these other ones, like the, here's the one I really love to play. Sunday, July 19th, the $525 Super Turbo Bounty.
525
super six-handed. Turbo. I like those. Wow. I like those bounties.
What's the bounty, like 250 or something? Or?
I'm guessing that's probably it. I'm looking at some of these events though. Some it says ggpoker.com and sends it wsop.com. Hmm. So I guess there's some of them, the GG Poker ones, that are bracelet events that U.S. players can't play from, or maybe you can play from GG Poker, but only in Vegas. Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah. Say, Steve, anyways, you know, you could afford it. I just can't afford it, but I wish I could. If I could get the 7,900 I lost the last two nights and say, okay, let's put 2,400 for next month's rent and let's take 5,500 up to Vegas and, you know, fire six or seven of these.
Is the social part of it, you know, the live right. poker part.
You're not a glory hound looking for a big score, or, you know.
I get the same thrill playing on Poker Bros for, you know, I mean, shit, like the tournament I played last night, first place was 13K. You know,
right.
I got 583, but who's counting?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, chances to win a bracelet for cheap in a one day tournament, you know.
True. And for me, it doesn't really.
But like I said, like I've been looking at the results, and like the almost every final table is all poker pros. Like, it's really pro heavy field there, as you can imagine, because you just got every poker pro fucking in Vegas just firing again and again, you know, rebuys. So, yeah, it wouldn't be a great economic decision for me to play these tournaments, but it would
I
be
think
fun.
There's you're right that there's a lot more pros playing these online than there would be at the live, you know. But the games on Poker Bros are pretty easy. They're not too some of the games, if you get in the right games. If you go right. and think that you're God's gift to open face Chinese and just play $2 a point, that's not the ideal decision. I learned that one night. But all the other ones I feel like.
I don't know if it's hard to say that I'm looking at WSOP, the last event, the guy who won. Ron McDaddy 15, who won a 1K six max for 188,000. There's a video of him saying this is his first online tournament.
Wow.
And there's a bunch of people crying and screaming watching him play in Iowa here. So I guess I stand corrected. It's not all.
Okay.
I'm looking at, who made the final? Oh, I know the kid, one kid who, Ian Steinman, very good pro, made the final table that.
Ian, is he the one that we played with Scott Stewart?
Oh, yeah. You were there.
Yeah. Man, he won one.
Yeah, he's a fucking crusher, man. He was WSOP Player of the Year 1 year for winning the.
Dude, he was last year when at the World Series. That kid was on my left the first time I met him, and it was annoying as fuck. You know, just three betting me all the time. I'm like, who the hell is this kid? And then we played him again in the tag team event. He was there, and I was like, oh, this is annoying. And then I saw him again, where he won that ring against Scott Stewart.
Right. Yeah, he's very, good. Very good. This would be a good, I mean, I don't know, Steve, we say the same, like my only chance of survival here, which now it's not, I would have to really start studying and developing a love of poker again. Yeah. And more than cash, it was online tournaments that I always enjoyed, but got to work hard if you want to do it. And again, I got fucking computer problems. I have to buy a new computer just if I want to start basically grinding a Bovada again, I think. Although I should have my computer looked at. But I'm not, it's not just putting in the hours now. I would have to putting in the hours playing if I wanted to compete with the Ian type guys. That involves a lot of work.
Yeah.
Something I'm not a big fan of, as you know.
Yeah.
I probably should hire a coach because I have to study each week. And it would force me to like, well, I don't want to tell the coach this.
Yeah.
I mean,
who would be a great coach for your cash game?
I was talking about even going back to tournaments, maybe. I don't know, like trying to like play tournaments again, but getting, you know, I could pay Carlos for coaching, but it's I'm not going to get better at poker, Steve. Sadly, you've seen the best poker I can play, which isn't very good. So this is.
I don't know.
I'm convinced myself playing red chip games in North County, San Diego, I can still make a living in live poker. But like, yeah. I'm so limited in what I can do.
Yeah.
You know, I need like the perfect situation to have a game where I could make $100,000 a year, where I can make a living wage pretty much.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Stevie, that is what it is.
It, yeah, it's fun. They got a lot of good games on there. It, I mean, they got tournaments.
Are all the card rooms up there closed? You know?
You know what? I'm not sure. I just got back from 2 weeks being gone and I didn't even have cell phone reception. So I haven't even looked. I could call Reinhardt and see if he's working.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah,
it might be because LA County is packed. Your little card rooms in your county might be. I mean, because LA County is shut down all the casinos there.
Ooh,
like okay. Your county might be like Ocean's 11 here was open for a week after, or 5 or 6 days after the LA casinos closed. And it was, of course, all these there's just so many fucking deadbeat grinders out there, Steve, trying not to get a job. I'm competing against just hundreds of guys over a limited amount of money. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But they were all came down to Oceans and it was like, normally you walk in there and there's just most tables are, well, it was also the virus. So they had like seven or eight less dealers than they needed.
Yeah.
But there was like 60 or 70 people on the board one day.
Wow.
Play 2-5. And the average one for those 4 days, there was always like 30 people. And, you know, I tipped the floor $20 and got to the top of the list. That was okay. They knew
that's
a lot of these people.
That's worth it.
Yeah. But still, I mean, I did that twice. Once I couldn't really. But they got to take care of the rest. I mean, I played fucking 12,000 hours at this casino, Steve, over the last 6 years.
Yeah.
For these guys who they know are coming just for the weekend because LA is closed, they're going to help you and take care of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the way it fucking should be.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Take care of your own, take care of your family.
Yeah. But now I talked to the general manager of Ocean's 11 and, you know, he gave me the heads up. They were shutting down. He said, mid August, see you then.
Yeah.
So another month, Steve, where I have to, I guess, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess as soon as we got the conversation here, I'm going to jump and try to play some Poker Bros and see if I can run it up.
Yeah.
But yeah. I just haven't, I don't know, Steve, I think the competition's got, you're not supposed to use a HUD, but I know there's just a lot more grinders, a lot less loose money, a lot more people probably using a HUD, taking notes on me. And, you know, again, if I wanted to win on Poker Bros and I'm not like you just fucking around and playing a little, if I want to make $2,000 a week or whatever, it requires work and I'm just a lazy fuck. But, yeah, I think we talked about it. I won like the first 8 or 9 weeks on that site, getting money off each time.
Yeah.
And then for a month, my account was always between like 600 and 3,000 up and down. I couldn't take any money off. Or I didn't take any money off. I was waiting and it never came up. And then finally I lost it all. And since then, I think I've deposited 3 or 4 times, $800 each. So in my mind, that I like telling the story as from my original deposit of 400, I know one online guy who does that on a different site. He put $100 in there once just to check it out and run it out. And he's made well over six figures from this site the last few years. Let's put it that way. Never redeposited.
Nice. Nice.
I mean, he probably keeps like 20,000 on there now. I don't know, but
so you'd have Poker to run Bros really or a different site.
It's not Poker Bros now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Been having fun though. It's been cool getting the listeners in and playing, you know.
Just because of the rake back, Poker Bros will be the place I play poker for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got a good schedule, but you know, of course, I'm enjoying these tournaments, these bounty tournaments. I mean, I probably could, I don't know, Steve. I'm just grasping at straws here. I'm like, is there any way I can become a winning online poker player again here where I, but again, gonna take some work. Got to get a new computer and get my own little grind station and do it right this time. And not the same. We know I'm not doing any of this, Steve. So why not? I wish I could find this game interesting. that's an interesting. I don't know if I'm, there's this buddy I might bring. He's a casual player, but he's become a, you know, he used to be a big donator and now he's a winning player, and you know, he's a good guy and me and him have fun. Mm-hmm. But I invited him to come with me I'm calling it the Persian game, but it's, mm-hmm. And then I kind of disinvited him because I thought about it afterwards. First of all, he takes a lot of time. Like these guys are like, I make it 150, call. And he'll stop and take a little sip of his tea, this Indian guy. And he's just very deliberate. Like it bugs people at the casino that I play at who've known him and like him. So yeah. If it's here where, you know, at 3 a.m. here, when you just want the hands to go fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing, he loves talking about the game. Oh no, it's annoying because he's a winning player. He reads people's souls, but he knows my hand half the time, which is crazy. Wow. Not real, but he's also giving, he's socially unaware. I don't like, he'll say stuff. Oh, when he bets, he'll never bet the turn after he bets the flop. Like he's giving people advice on how to beat me. Like without even knowing the terms, he knows spots where I'm unbalanced. He's like, no, he never, he either has a set or he has nothing. Like but he likes to analyze every hand. He's like, no, because he's, you know, he picks up shit on sizing tells people have.
Yeah.
Wow. So like he'll talk about that at the table. Oh, no, wow. No. When he bets big like that, oh, you never, never, never missed flush, you know, kind of. So he's like coaching people at the table. And I'm always kind of like, just, you know,
you're like, can't we just talk?
It's baseball? Almost excusable because half the stuff is just him using words and like wrong.
Yeah.
Like way, like there's important information he's leaving out.
Yeah.
So it's like not anyone, but I just can't have it at this game here because people are just like, oh, if you know, this is the extent of it is, oh, if I wish I played that King Deuce, I would have got you there.
Okay.
I knew you had it. I shouldn't have called. Oh, I almost went on all in on you. Lucky next time. Like that's the, it won't be any of this. Well, you know, talking about stocks, stack sizing and talking about ranging and, you know, you either got this or you got that, or I verbalized quite a bit too. I've had to stop it there. So I'm disinvited him and now I've re-invited him. But I'm gonna have to, my good Indian friend here, my buddy there is just, yeah, there's certain parts of him at a poker table, which are less than ideal. And he's a winning player, so I probably shouldn't want to, but you know, what the heck? I'll go up there. And it is, again, the home game, Steve. Well, this is, we talked about the Poker Bros things before where I felt, I don't know if I talked about with you or on the show, where I was like, I asked someone if they wanted to jump on and they were kind of half offended because two other people in the previous few days had asked them the same thing.
Oh.
So I told Josh, I said, Josh, I don't want to be anyone's agent. I don't like this fact. I don't like the business, the hustle side of it, which is stupid, right? If you can get, because there's people there who are friends of mine who are, I directed to the site, but I'm not getting any of their rake back. But it's just my, whatever, Steve, I'm strange. It's okay. My mentality. I don't want part of the business. And so now in these cash games, I need to, I bought a player the other day who's really good for the game, got a lot of money, could, and this is a star player. So the, this is a five-star player that every home game wants.
Yeah.
And the guy, he sent me $50 if I brought a new player. I didn't really do it for $50, which is nothing. I did it. So he gave me 50. And then this player will probably come there when I want to go. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you can tell he worked hard. He's a nice guy, but he's really good at his job. He's the car salesman. He makes sure if you bring a friend, he'll immediately get that friend's number. Hey, anytime there's a game, I can get, you know. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, this person would only go if I was going.
Okay.
Should I ask for $300 each time?
This is
someone who, yeah, this is someone who could lose $20,000 in a month and not give a shit. They've got a lot of money, and they're certainly play every hand almost kind of thing. Yeah.
But he's a winning player.
No. We're talking about a different person here. Not talking about the guy I'm bringing tonight. If I go with him, my Indian friend.
Okay.
This is someone else I brought. So it is kind of funny. Like if I was like a real businessman, I should be, okay, listen, I mean, like I have a chance to win the money as much as everyone else.
Yeah.
But I'm also paying $80 an hour or $50 an hour in rake probably. Well, maybe not that much. 30 to 40, but more than I play at the casino. Like, should I say, yeah, I'd like $200 every time I show up. $300
From him?
Yeah, for bringing this player.
Oh, you're talking about going to the Marine guy that's managing the thing.
Yeah, I'm just talking about it. This is the part of I wouldn't actually do this because it's just not my, if I can't make a living playing poker, then fuck me. I shouldn't be surviving anyways. But there's all these little ways to hustle around the edges of poker where you can make money.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had people ask me for coaching, which I've said right away, I'd be terrible. Like there's, but like I said, the Poker Bros is one thing. I just didn't want any part of that. All I needed is one person to be like, dude, I mean, what's the deal? Why am I being asked by everybody here? You know? So that all I needed is one person to like that one semi uncomfortable situation. I was done with it. And here, you know, I'm not, am I man enough to go up to the, it's a totally reasonable request because for all some of his, you know, the regulars, the buddies, the friends, it makes some money. Not that they can just make money off that, but the game always will, if the game's ever slowing down, the game will always go for an extra 2 hours. Yeah. Basically it'd be totally worth it. If I were to get if I could get this person to go 6 times a month, like to ask for $1,000, kind of like just getting a rake back for playing 200 hours, so much action, so much money into the room.
Yeah. You know, that's
I won't do it, but this is the way, I mean, here as I am, I'm broke. I'm probably done. I don't know what I'm going to do for work, Steve. I'm giving myself 24 hours before I have to make life changes. But yeah, these are the ways I probably should be look at because it's not, because then I went to the other game on Wednesday night. This is like, I think I've tried to explain. There's the Marine game and then there's the Friends of the Marine game. Those are, you know, I can't. Yeah. These guys have the game. They're talking about, oh, where did you bring her from? And I'm like, yeah, man, she's, you know, she's freaking gold. She loves, he's like, well, I'll give you $100 anytime you bring her here.
Oh.
So, but the other guy's game is better and has, I just don't want any part of that. You know what I mean? But, and I brought another player the previous time, and there's another guy I'm going to bring. So I've already brought a couple of very good players to this game. I've already contributed, even though I've lost 7,000 or 8,000. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So this guy's been doing this for years, and he's built a great business, and he's, you know what I mean? He doesn't need me or anything. You know what I mean? He'll survive without me, but I'm well liked by people and can bring some people to the game that would be very much desirable.
Yeah.
Yeah, somehow it's pretty good. The one guy is definitely a pro. I think he from what I can tell, he's got this one buddy who's a pro, probably comes a lot too. But for the most part, everybody there, all the kind of winning players, there's not many of them. Yeah. And they're doing a very good job at not bringing in their other winning players to the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if I want to still have priority where, you know, oh, by the way, I want this seat. You know, it's like kind of dealing with a floor man sometimes too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm trying to be in good by bringing players, but I'm like, you know, I'm trying to, you know, make sure I keep invited to the game by bringing players, which is something I should do. But on the other hand, I'm like, you know, I'm not really doing them a favor by coming here as much as I'm doing them a favor by bringing this player there, which is, I mean, it's.
Yeah, I don't think that's wrong to ask for a little something for it. You're making the game better. You should get paid.
Right, but if it's my friend too, then you know what I mean. Like, I don't know. I guess I could say, "Hey, dude, they want you. Here's, we'll split it up for it." Like, if I was getting $200 for bringing like a losing player in, mm-hmm. I don't know how I'd feel about that. It's not enough. It's not enough money for me to be like,
"Yeah, to care." Yeah, then don't do it.
Or I would have to tell them. Like, yeah. I just wouldn't like bringing. Okay, here's the fish coming through.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, you're right.
I don't like people being called fish. Even I don't even use that word, or you know what I mean. But. Yeah, I don't know, Steve. It's interesting, but because I spent a lot of time analyzing the little poker world, even though I don't actually analyze all the hands I fuck up, which is, I was thinking about this last night. It's very conveniently in a certain level that I have such massive mental leaks because they need to be done. I can never get to actually studying and getting good at poker because I got to work on my mental leaks. See, does that make sense? No, if I just stopped calling when I knew they were, when I was second best, I mean, I do that much less. And I've even made some bad folds discussing, no, dude, you got to call here. This is too close to the top of your range. I'm like, no, no. But still, there's still 3,000 a month where I'm making calls where people would be like, what the fuck is that? Which is just, I mean, it's not really learning GTO.
Yeah.
It's just knowing which players at the table never to call.
Yeah.
And even if they can bluff a little bit. So, I mean, there's enough money for me to make money to make a living in poker without becoming a student of poker, Steve. If that's, this is my
justification here.
That's a big if, though. to deal with the emotional, mental aspect of it. I've shown no ability to do that over the last 6 years. Well, that's not true. I've gotten better, Steve. I won the poker. If I had, I'm always talking about, give me a bankroll. And of course, everyone said, if you give them $150,000, they'll be happy. But if I had a bankroll now, Steve, I could certainly be managed. I could manage things well. Again, back to the dream of having a home game, not only just the hour, like I said, if I'm going to be in poker in 3 years, I'm just getting old, Steve. I'm in pain when I'm playing. It's hard to work for me to play more than 8 hours. Like right now, for me to pay the bills, I have to play like 50, 60 hours a week. And even then, obviously, I've failed in that. But there's some other reasons for that. The virus has been very unfortunate for me. But yeah, home. In 3 years, I need like $100 hourly to survive. I don't know. That's either going to be studying a lot of poker, or that would be like really hustling and getting in good home games and trying to get in. There's another one I could get into, but like I said, it's just, there's a couple more I could get into. It's just, I don't have the money. You gotta have enough to deal with variance here. I mean, like these last 2 days, I should be like, okay, fuck it. You know? Yeah. I got to look at this hand and that hand. And I should have lost 6,800 rather than 7,900 or whatever it is. But when you don't have a bankroll, it's just the stress is unbelievable, man. I just can't even. I don't know. You've heard the same song and dance before.
A little bit. But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing on Poker Pros again. I missed it the last couple of weeks, but it's been fun having. I want to throw a shout out. Thank you to Taylor, Rob, and Dave and Dez. If you're listening and you want to play on here too, we've got tournaments. I'm looking at them right now. There's a $75 one going, a $5, $5, $10, $20, $10, $100, $215. Knockout tournaments. There's even PLO, cash games all the way down, 10 cent, 20 cent. So like max $20 buy-in. And then they got cash games that are all the way up to, 2.5, or 2.4. So it's, it's fun. It's fun. I dig it. I dig it. It is a lot of fun. And you do get a little rake back. So basically what the way it works is you get, if you pay $1 in rake, you get 10 cents of that back. The podcast gets 40 cents, and then that 40 cents just goes to the charity scholarship at the end of the year, which I'm kind of excited about, because this year there wasn't a scholarship because of the coronavirus. So I'm going to roll that into next year. And last year we made $3,000. So, I'm curious to see what we'll have after 2 years, especially with the Poker Bros and, getting the rake back. That should be pretty cool. But so if you're interested, hit me up, headsuppokerpodcast@gmail.com, or hit me up on Twitter @HUPpodcast, and we'll get you in. The minimum is 500 to do it. There's a little bit of work I got to do on the back end, and 500 is the minimum. But anyhow, if you're interested, hit me up, and it's a lot of fun.
Do you want to do poker hands, or what are we calling it a day, Steve? We've been talking for a while. We didn't even talk about the virus yet. We've shut down again. Of course, you've been out. You can't. It's kind of,
well, you know, where
people,
I was
people
in
are getting people are getting tired of this. People, I mean, obviously, it was frustrating from the beginning.
Yeah, no, it doesn't exist apparently in Parker, Arizona. Like, just people are walking around, no masks, nothing. You know, the only time you feel like there's a virus is Walmart requires them, and that's the only store where you can get groceries out there, and you got to wear them in there. But anywhere else, nobody cares. Out on the river, everyone's partying. Like, it was pretty strange.
I don't know. Like I said, there's one guy I play with who's on a ventilator. Or was on a ventilator. He had it. He's really big dude, like probably 100, 300 plus pounds, but a younger guy, but still. It is real. I know a few other people now. So it's actually very dangerous to me going to go to these home games. I just have no.
Do you guys wear masks or no?
I have. There's a few people that do. Mostly they don't, so I don't. Okay. You know, I bring it along. If there's someone next to me, maybe I will put it on.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I've had two friends that got it. Husband and wife used to work with them, and the last I talked to them, they'd been sick for 8 days. And he said, it's a bitch. He's like, you do not want this thing. He's all, we don't have to go to the hospital or nothing. He's just like, this is just the flu that never ends.
Yeah, I heard the one woman I know got it. I saw her send out on Facebook. She's like, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, it's like kind of unprecedented feeling of sickness. So I've told myself, at least when I'm sick, there's not going to be like, I will see a doctor right away, which okay. is not my nature, as we've kind of discussed before.
Yeah, it... Yeah, they said it sucks. The whole thing about not being able to smell and taste is true. Your appetite goes away. Full body aches. He's like, my bones hurt. Like, your bones? He's all, yeah, it sucks. He's like, you don't want this fucking thing. All right. I wonder when this whole thing's going to stop. It's probably going to take a vaccine. And we could be a year out from that.
I don't know. I got, like I said, I kind of, you know, we got all my different friends on Twitter. One of them's like the real right wing stuff. And he posts shit like a repost stuff. Like if you go to like a doctor, the government funded coronavirus test, mm-hmm. they're actually infecting you with the virus.
Oh, is this like a conspiracy thing?
Yeah, just a conspiracy.
Oh, right? Okay.
But actually showing pictures, like getting tested for the virus isn't pleasant. They got to put something all the way down your nose, right?
No, I did it. It was just a blood draw.
It was a blood draw? Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I think these okay. I heard it was a very unpleasant experience.
I'm sticking shit in my mouth or nose. Yeah, I think they just drew my blood.
But he's like, why don't they just swab your mouth? Why do they have to stick something up your nose? Or I don't know, Steve. But I'm not falling for a conspiracy, but it's like, surely don't we have the resources and to fucking solve this pretty much faster? And definitely like the media, the national thing, and this is why they lost all credibility. It's like the second some of the riots and all this stuff kind of slowed down, all of a sudden it's like, Trump thinks people should hit the street again it's like there was just 100,000 people marching down your city. You didn't say a damn thing about it for a week.
You know,
and now all of a sudden we're back on the virus is the most terrible thing ever.
You know, it was interesting out at the river. There were more Trump flags and Trump signs than I've ever seen in my life. It was very different coming from Southern California, which is very blue.
Right.
And going into a red state. I mean, I remember on the river, we're going up the boat and you look in this giant, beautiful house, all glass. And there's a cardboard cutout of Trump, like pointing at you or doing a standard Trump pose. You know, it's like, wow, they have one in their, you know, second story bedroom window so everyone could see on the river. And there was a Trump flag flying out of each house. Like it was like they planned it. It was like every fifth house on the California side, actually. And then there was a lot more on the Arizona side. But there was kids driving around with Trump. What the hell did the flag say? It said Trump 2020, stop the bullshit or something like that. I can't remember what it was.
Right.
But just like I saw that and they're driving around on a little quad, like a Razor or something, you know, or one of those right. Odysseys or whatever. And it's like, wow, I feel like that's just being like confrontational. Like you want to get in a fight, you know, why else would you do that? You know?
Right. Well, you know, there's much fear and loathing on both sides now, Steve.
Yeah.
But yeah. First of all, the second like Trump was elected, I said he will be voted out his second term and not leave office. I know okay. I'm immediately racist, but it's I feel like I might be a prophet here, Steve, because there will be. I don't want to get into politics again, but let's put it this way: if Trump loses the election, there's a lot of people whose alienation will be total and complete. You know what I mean? It's gonna flip the switch basically. A bunch of middle white America feels Trump is like their last hope. You know what I mean? Especially like in the working class. The working class. Where, so when Trump gone, like eventually, you know, the country's changing. It's becoming less white. Eventually, we're going to see some sort of semi-socialist brown person in there. And there's going to be a lot of the country that is not on board.
Yeah.
So how America moves forward from here. But yeah. No, yeah, like you said, from you kind of like when Trump won the election, I was just astounded. And I called somebody. I'm like, dude, what the fuck is going on here? And he's like, well, there's lots of parts of this country where people look upon Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, you know, with much more contempt than they would for anyone like Trump. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And those people aren't heard a lot, you know, in the news and stuff. So, you know, eventually we didn't know it was out there. And then Trump got elected.
Yeah.
I'm like, true. Okay, now we get it. Now we understand why everything's falling to pieces here.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I'm curious to see if he wins again or not. I think he will. I mean,
you think he'll win?
I think against Biden. How many Biden flags do you see?
Well, that's a good point, Steve.
Everything in the news, everything is just Trump, 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 Trump. Like, yeah, even bad news is good for him.
I can't even watch Biden. I mean, some of the videotape of him, it's just, it's not even like he's slowing down. It's like this is full blown dementia.
Right.
He barely knows what he is here now. He'll start talking about something. I mean, listen, I'm 25 years younger than him and I'm fucking scrambled brain. You know what I mean? But yeah. So I sympathize, but yeah, that's an interesting point where he's got, people are always, my brother's like, you know, hates Trump. He's like, they just can't let Biden debate him.
No.
Come up with some reason because you come up with some excuse not to debate and you'll win this thing. Not that Trump is an amazing debater, but you know, he's not afraid to go on. He will at one point make Biden forget where he's at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I can't imagine let's put it this way. He's down big time in the polls right now.
Who is
Trump?
Is he?
I mean, of course he was down last year. His last election, Trump's a game changer. Usually these polls are pretty close. Last time they had Trump losing, and I think at the beginning of election day last year, he had like a 16% chance of winning or something.
Interesting.
But he's down big in the polls now. Yeah. So you know,
it might be the news that we're fed too, because being in California, he's not popular here. And the news that we're fed, I think will reflect that. Cause I remember, Barry and Alex on their, Ask Alex show, Barry was talking about the last election and he said, because Alex was talking about that, and he said, you know, it's not like that here in Ireland. And it's like, no? And he's all, no. Everyone knew he would win. So the betting lines reflected that. He said, but then he found a back channel way to bet on an American site, and he said the odds were amazing. because everyone here thought he would lose. I'm like, huh, interesting.
The Irish are untrustworthy people, Steve, for God's sake. You know? They're trying to pretend they have some specific knowledge. They got
a rainbow following the rainbow to the pot.
Yeah, the poetry in their boozy souls are have insight into the world that the rest of us lack. No, it's just total false. I actually have $300 on it this year that Trump loses. I have two. Ooh. I have one. One guy was talking about, you know, this was a while ago. The economy's going good. Believe me, there's absolutely no chance the guy loses. I'm like, well, he lost the popular vote that time. No, he wins it. I'm like, so I made a $100 bet with this one guy in the popular vote. And then I had another guy took that bet with me too, the popular vote, but he also wanted an extra $100 on whether Trump wins the election. So I break even with him if Trump wins the election, but loses the popular vote. But I think he loses both. It's hard to say.
I think he'll lose the popular vote.
There's still
not the game. The game is
there's still some of these states he won are obviously a lot of the sort of white working class Democrat types will still be voting for him maybe, but he's down pretty big in some of the, you can say the polls, you can't trust them there. I mean, like 10 years ago, there was probably just two polls. There's the CNN and you know what I mean? You're going to be more skeptical, but now there's a lot of different places to get data.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? These guys really, and like even some of these states that Trump needs to win, you know, Arizona down 12 points, Wisconsin down 8 points, but it could turn around. Biden could be so incompetent Again, if there's a, I mean, what Trump has is the fucking just general sense that, you know, statues getting smashed and he being the voice of law and order is what his hope is. Yeah. Obviously, he hopes the economy is doing well too. I really don't know about that.
I got 400 on him getting reelected.
I got 300 and then he doesn't. You want to bet 100, Steve?
Yeah.
You got Trump getting reelected? Okay.
I got Trump reelection.
Okay. Booked.
I actually have a list right now. Yeah. If he's not impeached again, I win $25. If he is, I lose 100. If he's reelected, I win 4. If he's not, I lose 100 in a dead pool. Who will live longer, Trump or Sanders? I got 500 on Trump, although I think I should have taken Sanders.
Yeah, that one I don't know about. It's kind of, what was I going to say? Damn it, Steve, I was on the cusp of a real important thing that I was going to say.
We got $100. You got, now let's say you're right and Biden does have full blown dementia and they got to come up with some other candidate.
Well, that's a lot of people think it's going to be, he's got to find, people are going to be looking at his vice presidential candidate as someone who's probably could be president in the next 4 years.
That makes sense.
So that's why a lot of people are coming out. Yeah, Biden's an old stodgy, but he's going to have a young, younger woman. Very likely another younger brown woman, or you know, okay. if he brought Michelle Obama on, I think, that was my prediction again 4 years ago that Trump would actually run against Michelle Obama this time, and I was wrong about that. They brought all creepy old Joe Biden. He is. Have you seen some of the videos of him, like, you know, touching, sniffing hair and stuff?
No.
You know, the controversy over him. There's one woman who claims she was actually sexually assaulted, but there's lots of video of him. Anytime there's like some key to the city thing, anytime there's like a woman around, he goes over and like touches the back of her neck. And there's been a couple cases. There's one woman, again, she wasn't like, she said kind of as assault. Like there's like video of it, a meeting where Trump comes over and is like, you know, puts his head on the back of her head and, you know, she can smell him sniffing her or something. So he's done that. And there's always pictures of him with kids. Like there's another picture of him leaning down to give like a kid a kiss on the lip. And the kid is like spinning their head away, trying to get away. And he's like, it is just kind of, nobody under the age of 30 wants like just random 80-year-old men touching him, even if it's in like a non-sexual manner, you know, expressing their connection.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, he's a weak candidate. There's no question about it. Yeah, that could be there could be some sort of chaos there for sure. Of course, there's a lot of Bernie people who will not vote for Biden either.
Yeah, I think so.
My friend Michael Pearson would be a good example of that. I'm sure he's probably not voting.
He either that or going one of the.
I kind of want to talk to Mike during the protest here because he's just interesting. He thinks about stuff I don't think about. Like, I'm guessing he was right on the front lines involved with some of the Antifa stuff. I don't know. But
wouldn't surprise me.
He certainly would empathize and would be able to articulate in a way that, of course, a lot of brick throwing hoodlums could not.
Yeah. 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 But yeah, I'm down. 100 on, I'll put 100 on Trump. If anyone else wants to put any money, let me know.
Wow. Stevie, you're really, really sticking by your man. I mean, Steve, you should negotiate a good price here. You should get 3-2 on your money or something. I mean, he's a pretty big dog right now.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is. Just look at the numbers.
Wasn't the best. Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Polls now say he's behind.
Yeah, I think he's behind like 8 points nationally.
Okay.
No, like last time they showed him being down 2 points. I mean, the Trump people will come out for sure. But it's like some of the, I don't know. And again, like the demographics are changing in the country pretty rapidly. So in 4 years, that's like 5 million old white people that die, 5 million young brown people who start voting. You know what I mean? So yeah, it becomes harder.
That's an interesting point. I didn't think of that. A lot of his voter base, I bet, are older white people. And you're right. They've had 4 years to.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's like a pretty big discrepancy though. Like our population over the age of 80, it's probably, I'm going to say like 85% white, where the population that's 18, it's, you know, much, 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 much less. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, if you're honest, like this is a factor in how Trump won the election. Let's be real. And I don't know, man, but the Democrats are so fucking crazy too. So that they're not just happy, you know, now like Biden was just asked about like, should they tear down the statues or something like that? He's like, well, we need to discuss and listen to all voices rather than just saying, I'm sorry, fucking Mount Rushmore should stay. I mean, not everybody fucking voting for that side is just a fucking anarchist. You know
what? They want to tear down Mount Rushmore?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it's got a couple slaveholders up there, Steve.
Oh, God. Okay. All right.
You can go down I'm going down the rabbit hole of the internet, but some of the stuff that's already happening is like pretty, you don't know if it's fake news or not. You have to like check to see if certain things are. Like there was some state which said their non-white people didn't have to wear their masks because they could have legitimate reasons to be nervous to hide their identity and be like, whereas white people have to wear masks. Like, I honestly, this was some like a proposal, or, you know, and I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming out there that's kind of silliness that is just
it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever
heard. But did you see we were talking about this last, did you see the autonomous zone in Portland?
Autonomous zone, no.
Like there's an area there where cops weren't allowed into.
We were talking about that last week. Yeah.
Yeah, they cut off and you know, they're fucking a couple times people were shot and they just dragged the bodies to the exterior and you know, where's the police? You know, yeah. You know, they got so finally. And the mayor was like, the mayor of Portland, I think was, it's a ridiculous situation where the mayor of Portland, like was refusing to send the cops in, even though, and stop it. Yeah. Because, you know, they understood, you know, this is a the antipathy towards the cops and what can do. And finally this mob showed up at like her house and started like vandalizing or something. And then she said, okay, let's send the cops in. I mean, it was a perfect example of like liberal hypocrisy. When it's happened to someone else's business, it's fine. But when it shows up at my front door, you know, it's, oh no, we need to
do something here.
we need to get rid of this. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just all the politically correct stuff that exists is just like, you know, like Amazon, you cannot buy anything with the Washington Redskin logo on Amazon, I think right now.
I heard that.
So there's a lot of
that's
the corporate,
sad, I think.
We're right. I mean,
so sensitive.
I might have to take a list of like the 10 most ridiculous things that are going on regarding some of this stuff here.
Yeah, I see there's someone or group of people that are pushing this. And I wonder, wouldn't your time be better spent maybe doing anything else? Like I don't know. I mean, someone's probably putting in 40 hours a week pushing that. You know what I mean? Wouldn't those 40 hours be better off? Fuck, if you're that rich and you can do it without money, work and then just donate it to a charity or something. You know what I mean? I think that would have more of an impact than just desperately trying to change the name of a team. Like
it's about exerting one's will.
I guess.
It's about making someone who's never watched a football game.
Right.
Doesn't know which team the Redskins are. Couldn't describe the helmet. They're just
appalled that their name is Redskin. Okay.
Well, you know, again, like a lot of these things, the battles that are going on, that's the whole point. It's not about the normal stuff you see people fighting over, which is jobs and money and this and stuff. It's like about what is America, you know, kind of shit. So for the people who want to take the monuments down, if you want to really condemn the racist past, you need to tear it down and start over.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, that's kind of, yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
I look forward to the day when we're all just one race and this.
Well, that'll happen.
People will find some other fucking thing. You know, they, I remember when I was in Thailand, it was classic. They didn't like Myanmar. And I heard this from multiple people is they eat too much rice. I'm like, what the fuck? The country right next door to Thailand. The people look very similar, you know, but have different cultures. And there was some racism there. And they could never really give me a good reason. You know, it was just, I think we're just naturally subconsciously drawn to people that are like us. Number one, that speak the same language, and number two, that have similar cultures. And
right.
I don't know. There's something there that
preaching in the choir, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyhow, should we wrap this up? Now.
Yeah.
It's been almost 2 hours here, and right. I think I'll put the hand off till next week. It's a good one though. I got
as usual, days. Steve. You're such a pleasure to talk to. I was like, oh, I can't do this. Maybe I'll feign a heart attack and do 15 minutes, and then like 2 hours later, you're shutting me up, Steve, because I'm just babbling on and on about stuff.
It was good. Thank you, Mikey.
Okay, buddy.
And have a good weekend. Thank you for tuning in. Here is your weekly motivational speech.
Some of you are in the darkest of darkest valleys. I don't know what you're going through, but I know what you need. Hope. And I want you to know that beautiful things can come from your broken pieces when you give your broken pieces a chance.
It is okay to be scared. It is okay to cry. But giving up is not.
But I just want you to know that it's not the end. It matters how you're gonna finish.
I don't care how dark it looked for you. I don't care what they done said to you. I don't care what the verdict is. I don't care what the haters say. It ain't over. No matter what happens to you, it ain't over. Ain't no such a thing as over. Do you know, man, that you can actually mess your life completely up? You can jack it all the way up and you can turn around and get it right. Do you know that you can be divorced multiple times and still be okay? Do you understand that you cannot have a degree and still be just fine? Now, whatever you've been through, whatever that is, guess what? You're still here. You have a great life in front of you. But your great life is in front of you. It's not behind you. Everything you're going through is preparing you for what you ask God for. You just gotta quit tripping while you're in the process, because the process is necessary. You may not see it now, but when it gets you on the other side of it, you're gonna see exactly why it went that way, and you're gonna be okay with it. Pull yourself together and quit tripping, cause you're in the process. God is processing you. He ain't through with you. If he was through with you, you would not wake up in the morning.
When you feel like giving up, don't. When you thinking about giving up, don't. When it look like you ain't gonna make it, keep going. When they tell you you can't, come on, man, who are they? When they tell you to put all your stuff back on your desk, don't do that, man. Don't do that. When they tell you you're not gonna make it, don't believe them, man. Don't believe them. You got to be relentless.
And I'm saying to you, what if all of us took that attitude after we face a rejection and a no, or we have a meeting and no one shows up, or somebody say, you can count on me, and they don't come through. Nobody believes in you. You've lost again and again and again. The lights are cut off, but you're still looking at your dream, reviewing it every day, and say to yourself, it's not over until I win.
The harder the battle, the sweeter the victory. See, what you become in the process is more important than the dream. That's far more important. The kind of person you become, the character that you build, the courage that you develop, the faith that you're manifesting. Oh, it's something that you get up in the morning, you look yourself in the mirror, you're a different kind of person. You walk with a different kind of spirit. And people know that you know what life is, that you have embraced life. You knew it was hard, but you did it hard.